West Papua had its own existence for many years, basically going back to prehistoric times. It was taken over by Indonesia in what is today known as the Act of Free Choice. Most Papuans refer to this as the Act of No Choice. Basically, West Papuans were supposed to have a vote to decide whether they wanted to be independent or whether they wanted to join Indonesia. But Indonesia and its military particularly handpicked 1,022 West Papuans, which is less than 0.1% of the population. And these 1,022 West Papuans were forced at gunpoint, effectively, to vote for Indonesia. And all of them voted for Indonesia. Most West Papuans today therefore refer to this process as the Act of No Choice, not the Act of Free Choice. Today what's going on is that, as I said, West Papua's population is 2.6 to 2.8 million, and there's over 26,000 Indonesian troops in the province. Many West Papuans, although not all, view these Indonesian troops as a foreign occupying force. And there's approximately one military and security personnel for every 100 West Papuans, which is a higher soldier-to-civilian ratio than currently prevailing in the ongoing occupation of Iraq. At the moment, journalists and human rights monitors and researchers are banned from West Papua. You can get in on a tourist visa, but what you can do is extremely curtailed.
And what is the state of law and order in West Papua and relations with Indonesia at the present time?
There is a very draconian military and police force that imposes order at the point of a gun. And it's not as if the Papuans are naturally anti-Indonesian. It's just that the Indonesian military maintains a network of businesses, both legal and illegal, in the province. And they need to protect their turf. Villagers and citizens and so on who try and protest about corruption can find themselves labeled as separatists and targeted for arrest or worse. As recently as last week, the police and the military, this is the Indonesian police and the Indonesian military, had a gun battle between themselves over a dispute over who was going to get what cut of a protection racket.
And how different are relations inside West Papua with Indonesia compared to what the public here sees and knows?
The West Papuan people, for the most part, have declared their view and their wish that Papua be a zone of peace. So they call for non-violent actions, and they're actually quite willing to get along with the Indonesian migrants who are living there. The problem remains that the Indonesian military has far too many troops there and is running effectively a protection racket over the network of businesses that it controls, and has a vested interest in sparking tensions between the Indonesian migrants and the West Papuan people.
And why the ban on the foreign travellers and the journalists as such?
The Indonesian military has banned journalists and foreign researchers and human rights monitors because it has committed far too many human rights atrocities in the province. It therefore has a vested interest in shielding its crimes from the world.
And how likely is it that a West Papuan would get a fair trial if they were tried in the Indonesian language and in Indonesia?
Well, the justice system is patently unfair. Numerous reports, including by the United States State Department, have pointed to complete subversion of the judicial system by powerful forces within the Indonesian military. It's very unlikely. But just to give you an illustration, consider how bizarre this must seem to a West Papuan. The architect of the destruction of East Timor was Brigadier Mahidin Simbolon. He was, of course, an unindicted war criminal. But he was promoted to Major General and then placed in charge of West Papua after East Timor became independent. The police chief of Dili in East Timor was promoted and placed in charge of West Papua. The current commander of West Papua used to be in Aceh, where numerous civilians died every day for almost a year when he was there. And so it's these people have never been brought to justice. It's only the West Papuans who seem to be hauled before courts on trumped up charges, given excessive sentences. So the justice system is as flawed as the military, simply because the military exerts an undue influence on it.